Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Number one seed, Virginia. The Cavaliers are going to the South region. It's the seventh time they have been a number one seed.
Other than their own DeAndre Hunt, there is not a single projected lottery pick in the entire region. I was amazed when I looked at it.
Number one seed, Virginia. The Cavaliers are going to the South region. It's the seventh time they have been a number one seed.
That doesn't mean there aren't double-digit seeds that could win a game or two. I think Belmont's one of them. Murray State could win a game. I think Liberty could win a game.
Johnson driving around Bolden and lays it in.
Third overall number one seed is North Carolina. The Tar Heels are going to the Midwest region.
Duke is better than all of those teams. I think they're going to run into trouble when they play a club that has no fear.
To no one's surprise, the overall number one seed is Duke.
Getting Zion back, of course, is huge. You know, half of our conference schedule, we didn't have our full team, and no one's going to feel sorry for us, and I'm not feeling sorry for them.
Steal by Williamson.
The mentality once you guys hit the postseason.
Killers kill. Killers kill.
I love basketball. This game is so exciting.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
How big of it is of Coach K to be like, yeah, no, I don't feel sorry for us. No one should feel sorry for us. Yeah, no one does. Don't worry. That's a solution to not a problem. Feeling sorry for Duke basketball. This hour on The Score brought to you by Fisher Oven Roasted Never Fried Snack Nuts. Never fried, nothing to hide. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes in about 40 minutes. He's in Arizona. Mac is at the hospital with his father, so I'm flying solo with Shep and Tanny. Talk a little more college basketball before we get out of here, but I was out of town when the Ha-Ha Clinton Dix signing happened for the Bears, and in a vacuum, it's not a huge deal. They went from Adrian Amos to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Amos goes to the Packers. Clinton Dix comes to the Bears. Clinton Dix and Eddie Jackson team up. It's a one-year deal. The Packers paid Amos more than the Bears are paying Clinton Dix. The Bears, they don't ask that box safety to do a lot. Clinton Dix seems to be certainly capable of doing it. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal in the NFL. It's not a big deal. The Bears don't have a ton of cap space. They're not winning free agency this year. That's a good thing. They have a few needs and a few holes, and Ryan Pace is filling them with bargain basement 1-2 year deals, right? Buster Screen, Mike Davis, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, undrafted free agent kickers. They've got the 5 draft picks coming up in the draft. But, and you know I'm an actions over words guys, and what these guys say doesn't matter nearly as much, especially in football and especially in free agency, when guys are going to choose to go to the highest bidder. But there was a theme that emerged. Cordarrell Patterson said that he was attracted to the Bears because of their swag and their culture. Eddie Jackson helped recruit Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Buster Screen said he wanted to play for Matt Nagy specifically, and the Bears were on ESPN seemingly every week, and you would see the videos of how much fun they were having when those club dub videos would go viral. Well, now let's hear what Ha-Ha Clinton Dix had to say about why he joined the Bears.
I was getting other calls from other teams who wanted to sign me, and the money was more. But like I said, you see so many guys, you know, get to the end of their careers and their successful careers, and now they're trying to chase a ring. I have the opportunity to do that in my prime. You know, like I said, man, if you ask me, Chicago was Eddie Jackson away from winning the Super Bowl last year, man. So just any way I can come onto this team, man, and contribute, man, and make plays and get my name back out there, man, I think I'm excited about that. Easy, man. Prove that I'm one of the best, man, and go out and win a championship, man. I think I got the perfect opportunity. I'm coming into something great that Coach Nagy has created over there in Chicago, and I'm excited about my opportunity.
How awesome is it to hear an NFL free agent saying that he chose the Bears because of their culture, their coach, and the opportunity to win a championship?
That is foreign. Doesn't sound like it should be the Bears.
And it happens in the NFL. Like it is possible. It just doesn't happen often. And it doesn't feel like it happens here. Right, but it's happening in Cleveland right now. It happened in Kansas City when they hired Andy Reid. There was an appearance, like they were embarrassed with Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel, just like the Bears had been embarrassed with Mark Trestman. Right? Like we all know the long list of Bears coaches, and then all of a sudden you get that guy and he hits, and it can change everything. Coaching matters so much in football. We were talking about Jim Boylan earlier and how he's trying to change his perception and whether or not that'll matter for NBA free agents. It's normally about money and winning and ownership and organization, and then, you know, a coach is relatively expendable in the NBA. Not in football. In football, it can be everything. And HaHa Clinton Dix signed a one-year deal, and he talked about getting back out there and winning in the prime of his career. He's not committed to the Bears long-term. So I'm sure that there is some truth in what he's saying. The other thing that he's not saying that doesn't help you win a press conference or ingrain yourself in the positive mindset of Bears fans is if HaHa Clinton Dix has a good season for Chuck Pagano next to Eddie Jackson with Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith and Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack and Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara in front of him, then he hits free agency only a year later when there's not as many safeties in the free agent class and he can make a whole bunch of money. So it's easy to say now, try to win a championship in my prime, Matt Nagy, culture, and all of that stuff. But these guys are also not marquee free agents who are getting huge deals, right? Cordarrelle Patterson, a one-year deal. Buster Skrine and Mike, oh, you know, he was a two-year deal. Mike Davis, two-year deal. Buster Skrine, HaHa Clinton Dix. These are all 1 and 2 year deals. Very low guarantees, very easy to get out of. Guys that I'm sure had other bidders. And maybe HaHa Clinton Dix. He was 1 year, $8 million, right? For HaHa Clinton Dix?
Even less.
Even less? So maybe there was an offer for an extra $1 million somewhere. But his agent says, listen, you go to Chicago, you win 12 games, you win a playoff game or two, maybe you even play in a Super Bowl, you lose out on that $1 million now, but you can make it up tenfold by showing you could be a part of a Super Bowl defense going forward.
1 year, 3.5.
1 year, 3.5, so way less. My apologies. So maybe he had a $5 million offer. And he's like, I'm going to give some of that back now to be on a good defense. But the point is, people are choosing the Bears for culture and an opportunity to better themselves. As opposed to, oh yeah, they'll choose the Bears, but it's because the Bears offer the most money. That's a huge difference. And it happened in an instant. And the person most singularly responsible for it is Matt Nagy. It's not Mitch Trubisky, even though Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton all said the right things about him last year when they came on and they signed, but no one knew if Mitch was good. They were just saying those things. The Bears offered them the most money. The Bears gave Allen Robinson a huge deal, Gabriel a big deal, Trey Burton a huge deal based on very limited production. They said the right things, but it was about money. Ryan Pace made those moves. Ryan Pace made the trade for Khalil Mack. But when you're hearing guys like that talk, that's Matt Nagy. That's club dub. That's game balls after the game. That's press conferences. That's word of mouth around the league. That's a coach instilling a culture that translates to he's an offensive coach who's got a safety who played against him twice choosing to sign here. Maybe HaHa Clinton Dix gets used on offense. Defensive players like that get their chance to get their hands on the ball. Like, honestly, that's the type of thing that Matt Nagy can do that who knows where it goes. I'm still surprised that there hasn't been the red flag guy that's come in, that there hasn't been more of a big name. Maybe one of these guys will drop down into their price range, whether it's Justin Houston, whether it's Ndamukong Suh, whether it's Eric Berry. Who knows? Randall Cobb just came off the market today, but one of those veterans with big names that'll take a one-year deal to try to ring chase. Just the idea of ring chasing happening with the Bears. How crazy is that? Who's that been reserved for in the past? Patriots, obviously.
Pittsburgh, maybe Baltimore.
Pittsburgh, Baltimore. The Rams last year, the Rams got a lot of guys who were talking about wanting to go there. Sue, Tlaib, Peter, some via trade, some via signing, but a lot of guys wanted to be a part of what they were doing. It's a short list of teams who can say, I'm going to go there to do that. And what and HaHa Clinton Dix's point is a good one. Most guys do it at the end of their career. Now, if HaHa Clinton Dix had the Adrian Amos contract, no one thinks that he would have passed up that money, right? So that's the thing that you've got to split. There was a report that Earl Thomas was going to sign a one-year deal in KC, and then the Ravens came in and gave him the four-year, whatever it was, $50 million offer, and he was going to sign a one-year deal for less than $10 million in KC to try to win a ring, replace Eric Berry, and play next to Tyrann Mathieu. So that's another story of, like, who are the Ravens bidding against? But instead of giving a guy a chance to win a ring, Earl Thomas, he's like, okay, I'll go chase that last payday. So there was clearly no big generational wealth payday there for HaHa Clinton Dix. But if all things were equal, choose the best defense, choose the best culture. It's a new day, man. And it happened quick, and it can happen quick in the NFL. Speaking of Khalil Mack, by the way, I know the midday guys are more the analytics show. When we were at Scorehouse in Arizona, we were all dreaming about what trip the shows would want to take. This show was talking about doing Chiefs Broncos in Denver.
Bears Broncos. I think it'd be fitting for Chicago station to go to.
Bears Broncos.
Yeah, you got to let that Kansas City thing go. I don't think the station's going to pay for a Kansas City trip.
That's my bad. Bears Broncos. Chiefs always play the Broncos. The Chiefs are coming to Chicago this year. But yeah, Bears Broncos. My bad, guys. A little foggy still from the weekend. How's the show been, by the way? You guys, am I boring you to tears over there yet? How's it been?
No. Okay. Keeping us on guard with some of this.
Yeah, you know, good.
Chiefs references, Kansas City references, and whatever else.
Yeah, my bad. Quick correction there. But Dan and Connor were joking about wanting to be sent to the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference next year, and I don't think they were joking. Mac and I wanted to go to Denver for the legal weed. Mully wanted to go to the
Bears and Raiders in London.
And Dan and Connor wanted to go to Sloan Sports Analytics to learn about analytics and sports, and it's in Boston. Well, MIT has graded their favorite trade of any American pro sport of the last year based on analytics. What the best trade to the analytics community was: the Raiders trading away Khalil Mack, saying that they had to rebuild and get worse, and they did, going from 6 wins to 4 wins, so they got a better draft pick, and they saved money, and they got extra draft picks. So the draft haul and the money saved for trading Khalil Mack, the analytics community said, Khalil Mack, Bears, Raiders, the Raiders had the best trade of any team in any American sport in the last year.
That's what comes with Mack.
Could you imagine being that beholden to the numbers that you would think that that analysis is worth anything?
Right. Like, watch something. I get it. Wani makes fun of the eye test sometimes and whatnot with that. But, like, have a clue. Khalil Mack was the second or third best defensive player in all of football last year. Without him, the Bears don't sniff the postseason, probably, let alone winning 12 games and win their division convincingly. The Raiders, okay, because they're bad and they had to get rid of a big salary, it's like, okay, so they made that move. Like, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, would the move of the year from this conference have been Chris Sale going to the Red Sox and the White Sox getting a bunch of prospects? Like, would that have been the move of the year? It's
correct.
Same concept, the same idea. Like, it's how often do you trade a legit superstar and your team is marketably better? Like, yeah, you need the prospects in this case, or in the Raiders' case, you need draft picks because your franchise appears to be going nowhere fast. But by giving up a megastar in his prime, like, you're giving up one of those things that you hope, like, dream that you can draft something even remotely close to the talent level that you just gave up.
What did the people say at the people who actually watch football conference? What was said at that conference about Khalil Mack?
Watch football without head and rear end conference.
The PWAWF. What did they say at that conference?
I think they all liked the trade for the Bears. It's just crazy. And we saw this with 538. Right? Sometimes your formula is just broken. And I'm not even talking about 538 and the election stuff with Nate Silver. Last year, their NBA projection model, last season, had the Raptors having a better chance to win the NBA Finals than the Warriors. Yo, your computer's broken. Your algorithm's broke. Watch the games. Watch the last 3 years. That's crazy. when you start, and then they just kept putting it out every week. They would just do updated NBA odds, Raptors, Rockets, Warriors. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it was consistent, and they were unapologetic. They were like, this is our formula. It's like, yo, tweak your formula. That's not right. We watch games. And so now you get this thing where it's like, oh, yeah, because they got two ones and a two and the Bears got the two and then the Raiders got two ones and the three. It's like, okay, Bears also got a playoff appearance, an all-pro season, and locked him up for the next 5 years and injected life into this team in this town, sold countless jerseys, and is firmly now in a Super Bowl window for the next 3 years while Mitch Trubisky's on a rookie contract. So I don't know how they judge it, but that's crazy. And that's where the Bears are right now. Teams are choosing them for their coach, their culture, the opportunity to win championships, and the anti-Bears argument is coming from computer simulations and projections that said that they not only lost the Khalil Mack trade, but the Raiders were the biggest winners of any trade in American pro sports. Think about how ridiculous that is. Texter says numbers don't lie, but they don't always tell the truth. Good way to put it. Could you imagine having some sort of formula, putting that out there, getting those results and being like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all things.
Thank you, Boog. Man, what a ridiculous headline. Can't wait to talk to Dan and Connor about that tomorrow in transition. Defend your nerds now, nerds. Sloan. You got to admit, that was a good conversation at Scorehouse.
Yeah, it was perfect for everyone involved.
It was perfect.
I'm like, it just fit the description of the shows perfectly. It's like, where are Dan and Connor going to go? Oh, they're going to ship up to Boston, not to, you know, go and see the sights that Boston has to offer, not to go see Fenway, not to see any of that. They're going to go to the MIT Analytics Conference. Enjoy.
Yeah. And Molly's going to London so he can extend his stay and go to Ireland. And Mac's like, I don't want to travel to Europe. Let's go to Denver. I want to go see a weed shop. Okay, there we go. Those are the three shows summed up pretty nicely. Otto Porter is out for tonight's game. A must tank, must lose game.
Huge.
Huge. Big news. Should have led the 5 o'clock hour with it. My bad. Strained rotator cuff as the Bulls try to slip past the Suns in the tank standings. I'm expecting Felicio to be the point guard for tonight's game. Also, Carlos Rodon, if you missed the news, he was named opening day starter for the White Sox. I had a crazy Zion Williamson conversation the other day. Want to let you in on that. And we'll talk to Lawrence Holmes in 25 minutes. And you still got a shot. Have the contest line ready. If you were here, Pat Hughes, you got
Pat Hughes. I love Pat Hughes.
If you hear that call of Javi Baez, you got a shot to qualify for Cubs season tickets. It's the best prize we give out all year. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
Huff, the kick, open again is Hunter. Never mind. Zion Williamson with other ideas.
That is called a recovery.
How many guys his size could run that far, jump that high, block a shot, and not commit a foul?
Dan Shulman, Jay Billis on the call. That's the question of the athleticism of Zion Williamson. It's special and historic, and I can't wait for the NBA pre-draft combine for it all to get measured out so we can compare it. Right now, he's listed at 6'8", 285, with a 40-inch vertical leap. He's probably a little shorter. He definitely looks 285, and I think his vertical leap might be higher. But so I've been calling him, you know, it's J.J. Watt with Russell Westbrook's vertical leap. And I was at this bachelor party in Tampa over the weekend, and I was with a bunch of Duke alums because the bachelor graduated from Duke. And so even though my buddy's not the biggest Duke basketball fan, he's really into this Duke basketball team, which I think speaks to how incredible Zion has been, is that he's made Duke basketball likable even for Duke alums who normally did not like Duke basketball. Not to mention all of us who normally hate Duke basketball. But the conversation came up on if Zion Williamson was eligible for the NFL draft. And he's obviously not. He did not play football. You have to be out of high school 3 years for football, only one for basketball. But if he was eligible for the NFL draft, would he be a first-round pick? Based on what we know now. He was offered a football scholarship by LSU. Their tight end coach said, my job was to find the best athletes in the country. I found him. I offered him a scholarship. He turned it down, but it was offered. Dabo Sweeney told Coach K that he would let Zion play any position on the field. Like I said, he's 6'7", 280. Eligible for the NFL draft, would he be a first-round pick? Based on what we know now. He was offered a football scholarship by LSU. Their tight end coach said, my job was to find the best athletes in the country. I found him. I offered him a scholarship. He turned it down, but it was offered. Dabo Sweeney told Coach K that he would let Zion play any position on the field. Like I said, he's 6'7", 285 with a 40-inch vertical leap, which is 3 inches higher than J.J. Watt measured in. He's about Julius Peppers, Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt's size in terms of his measurables. And so the question was, if he decided, I've never played football before, but I'm done with basketball, I want to commit to football full-time, and I'm entering the draft, and I'm eligible, would he be a first-round pick? The room was completely split. Passionate, drunken bachelor party debate on a ridiculous hypothetical. So then I'm getting on the airplane to come home, and I'm doing the national show last night, and I'm thinking, oh, you know what? That wasn't such a bad debate. I'm going to text a couple of people who are plugged into this world and would be more informed about it than I am. So I sent Greg Gabriel a message, 30 years as an NFL scout, 9 years Bears scouting director, and I sent our guy Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, on Twitter a message who's super plugged in to the NFL draft world. Shep, you want to take a guess? One of them thought absolutely. One of them said
three words. I have a feeling one was very on board with it, and one thought it was an incredibly stupid premise.
Right, and one person gave me three words that said, without a doubt, and the other person gave me
three words that said to do something.
No, paragraphs about why it was ridiculous. You want to take a guess as to who was
it? Go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Matt Miller was on board with Zion being a star football player and having the potential to be a first-round pick.
That is correct.
And I'm going to go on another limb, and I'm going to say that Greg Gabriel was, I don't want to say offended, but his sensibilities were bothered by the idea that Zion Williamson could even, you could even fathom Zion Williamson being an NFL player, let alone a first-round pick, potentially.
So, yeah, you're right on it. Matt Miller said, without a doubt, Greg Gabriel's first three words back were, not a chance.
Yeah.
So that's that. But here's what Greg Gabriel said. I'm not going to read all of it because some of it was a little proprietary.
And we've only got 28 minutes left in the show.
That's correct.
Lendale White, that fat running back from USC.
He said, not a chance. First, there are no verified measurables. Is he really 6'7 or more like 6'5 or 6'2? We have no 40 time. He has no football background. In other words, he's a project. Very few of these guys are able to step off the basketball court and start to play football and have an instant success. Football is an instinct game, and it takes time. Then he shares some personal anecdotes that I won't share without his permission. He says, guys like Antonio Gates are rare. For every basketball player who makes it, there are several who don't even make it to camp after a tryout. I'm not saying Zion couldn't make it, but he'd never be a one. Most are free agents. And then I thought this got interesting. He said, when he was working for the Giants under Parcells, Parcells was intrigued by basketball players. For like 3 years in a row, they would bring in basketball players to rookie minicamp to see if they had anything. One guy made it to camp but got cut quickly. What we found out was that basketball players weren't the athletes we thought they were, more straight line than most football players. Do you think Zion Williamson is special enough of an athlete that he could play football? Like, how special of an athlete? Because Kyler Murray became this phenom, right? First-round pick of the A's, might be the first overall pick, won a Heisman Trophy, recreates the Bo Jackson photo, black and white, shoulder pads, bat across the back. We marvel at these guys that do things athletically that separate them from already world-class athletes, right? Everyone in the NBA is a world-class athlete. But there are some who are the best of the best. Everyone in the NFL is a great athlete. Some are the best of the best. Do we think Zion Williamson is in that category?
I think that basketball as a whole, like if you're taking, of the four major sports, If you're taking based solely on pure athleticism, like who are the best athletes, like most athletic people, I'd take basketball players first. He's a freak among those, the best of the best for 18 to 22-year-olds. Take that into consideration. And it's like, oh, if he were to dedicate all the time that it takes to dedicate yourself to in order to be an NFL player instead of being in a NCAA, then college or an NBA player, yes, I think Zion Williamson could be. Like, that body type is, forget just basketball. That's not a body type that's normal for any sport. Then you mix in the athleticism with it, and it's that much more of a freak.
I agree. I thought he'd be a bottom of the first round pick. Quarterbacks will go in front of him.
Well, you also have to consider, yeah, he'd be dedicating his time instead of basketball to football, too. Like, and if you're telling me that guy, if you were to put in the same time that he clearly has put in basketball, you're telling me that you don't think that he could be an elite prospect or whatever? He's fast as hell. He jumps out of the gym. He
is strong.
Strong. Is 6'5", bare minimum, probably taller than that. Like, everything is coming up Zion in this.
I agree. And not to say that it's easy. I'm not going to belittle it, but you're telling me that you couldn't teach him how to rush the passer? I'm not even talking about being a tight end, and you got to, you know, he would learn that over time, blocking, getting off the line of scrimmage, going in motion, route concepts, catching the ball, getting tackled. That's complicated. Hey, Zion, see number 12?
Number one.
What?
Oh, see number 12.
See number 12 over there? Look at the ball. When the ball is snapped, go chase number 12. Teach him a few hand moves. Teach him a swim move. Teach him a spin, a counter move, bull rush. I feel like he could do it. But I also thought that Russell Westbrook could have been a free safety and that LeBron could have been a tight end. Now, some of those guys maybe hate getting hit and hate hitting, and the contact would scare them off. And Zion Williamson doesn't strike me as the type of person who would be intimidated by any sort of physical contact, but who knows, right? The old Mike Tyson line, plans change once he gets punched in the mouth. Maybe. Maybe Zion Williamson would curl up, fetal position. I'd be surprised. But I'm kind of obsessed with the athleticism of Zion Williamson. And that ACC tournament did nothing to turn me off to it. In fact, it just reinvigorated me for this NCAA tournament because I thought it was so ridiculous that people said he should shut it down and play basketball because his shoe exploded. It was a freak accident. He plays basketball. No real significant injury history here. He's fine. I can't wait to see what he becomes. And all of the comps for him are guys that got out of the NBA in the 90s. Sean Kemp, Larry Johnson, Charles Barkley. No one's got a comp for what it is right now. So, I don't know, man. I'd love to see it. Would you rather see him be a D-end or a tight end?
Tight end. And I think the 219 texter is onto it. If Adam Shaheen can get drafted in the second round, then Zion's definitely a first or second round tight end.
Great point.
Like, Adam Shaheen, basketball player, played what wasn't like dominant, was good at a small school. Like, yeah, Zion Williamson puts in that time football-wise. Yeah, he'd be a first-round pick. I'm on board with that. Totally on board with the 219. Then the 2224 texter. He definitely would get owned as a baseball player. Look no further than MJ for that data.
Okay.
Yeah, because Michael Jordan didn't play baseball for 15 years or whatever it was when he picked up in double stinking A, facing 90-plus mile-an-hour fastballs regularly. Yeah, I'm real surprised Michael Jordan didn't work out to be a baseball player.
Well, yeah, but I'm also not saying that Zion Williamson would be right. An Olympic skier. He is Jadeveon Clowney in terms of measurables. That's what he is. We don't see guys that big. Guys who are that big in basketball aren't that fast. He's that fast, that strong, and can jump that high. I don't know what he's. It's crazy to me. There are stories of coaches who said they would go to high school games looking to see this kid from South Carolina, and they thought, oh, there's no way that's him. That's a football player who just stumbled into the gym looking for a workout. He doesn't look like he should be playing basketball. And he's only 19 years old. And I get that some people out there think this is the absolute dumbest conversation they've ever heard, and some people are passionate about it one way or the other, yeses and noes. It's just a fun hypothetical, but I think it speaks to, I mean, Matt Miller's not a dumb guy. He's not uninformed. He says absolutely he'd be a first-round pick, without a doubt. And people say that first-round picks are never projects. Okay, I mean, Lamar Jackson was a first-round pick. Plenty of guys get drafted on spec. Now, they've played football before, so there's that. But plenty of guys get drafted in the first round with very limited college production, but massive combine numbers. Dontari Poe is an example of that. Guy got no production at Memphis. He was always being triple teamed. Showed up the combine, like 340 pounds, ran a 5.40. Everyone's like, oh, okay, top 12 pick. Because you're just a great athlete. They figure, we'll coach you up. We'll teach you how to do it. We can use that athleticism to do this on a football field. I don't want Zion to do it. I want him to go try to be the next LeBron. But damn, when you watch him against huge players on North Carolina and Syracuse and Virginia and Florida State, and he just throws them to the side like ragdolls, I'm like, I'd like to see him in a more physical sport too. Because it doesn't seem like he's got a physical peer in the sport that he's playing right now. We'll talk to one of our great peers. Bottom of the hour of the way is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. With only 5 home games remaining, the Wolves are making their push to the playoffs. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia, as well as discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit chicagowolves.com. Lawrence Holmes is in Arizona. That's his happy place. We'll talk to Lawrence coming up on The Score.
I like that cross tie.
I hear the people talk.
We like it too, Tom Thayer, but first, congratulations to Dan Juhas of Putnam, who has won entry to the finals of the Scores Cubs season ticket giveaway. Dan will be here at 1-2 Prue April 4th with a chance to win the season tickets, presented by Sweetwater Tavern and Grill, newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile. Mac is planning to be back tomorrow. He's at the hospital with his father today. But appreciate Shep and Tanny for helping me hold down the fort. Lawrence Holmes is in Arizona, which I know is one of his many happy places. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, Danny, you are 100% right. That is, I got off the plane yesterday and I was like, oh, yeah, this place is great.
Yes.
Especially now, like I got the good week, apparently.
Oh, it's perfect out there?
Yeah, it's 84.
That's nice, man.
Yeah, I'm rocking the flip-flops here at Sloan.
Listen, I can't complain. We had a great week at Scorehouse, and then I was in Tampa for 3.5 days. It's weird. I've never lived in a place that has an expectation of nice weather every day. I've always had seasons or been on the cold end of the spectrum, so I associate warm weather with vacation. But whenever I'm in Arizona, Florida, somewhere like that, and I tell them they're from Chicago – so many people there move to those places because of the weather. They're just like, I'm so sorry. Like, they have pity and sympathy for you because you live in a place that isn't like that all the time.
Yeah, I was a part-time snowbird for 4 years. So coming here, like, just I'll tell you what it did. Just the idea that I could book a flight on Southwest on a Friday and just leave, knowing that I had the condo out here and it was just all good and my clothes were here. All I had to do was literally get on a plane. And that thought alone used to give me peace of mind. Like, not even doing it, but knowing that I could do it always gave me peace of mind. I miss it. Like, I sold my place and it was a good benefit to sell it because it helped me buy my home. But man, there, especially this winter when that cold snap like came in, I was just sitting there going, wouldn't it be nice to just take a couple days off and bounce? And even if you got the bad week in Phoenix, even if you got the, oh, well, it's only 55 and sunny in Phoenix, that's a hell of a lot better than minus 20 air temperature. You yeah. know, like that.
Steph and I were in San Diego between Christmas and New Year's, and they were complaining about the weather. The parking attendant at the hotel, the valet, the bellhop, he was wearing gloves and a winter hat. It was like 62 degrees. I'm like, what are you doing? You've gotten soft.
It's a phenomenon that never gets old, where you walk around, and Mel and I were out here, when were we out here, in October? And it was 65 degrees. I'm out for a hike in shorts and a t-shirt, and I saw someone in a parka. And I was like, what is happening? But it happens all the time out here. It's bizarre.
So the bracket is out, and Zion Williamson will be the first, second, and third biggest story. I don't know where you came out on the idea of whether he should have shut it down or not shut it down, but I feel like the conversation around Zion has either been so focused on what he'll be as a pro or can he win a title at Duke that we've kind of glossed over until this ACC tournament of just appreciating the marvel of what he is athletically in terms of the size, speed, and power combination. Like, I don't think we've seen something quite like this in basketball. Do you think that's overstating it?
No, I think it's an interesting phenomenon that's ended up happening with him. I also think that we got an appreciation for him being the glue of that Duke team. And I remember before the season started, you're talking about, well, can this Duke team play and beat an NBA team because of the recruiting class and how good the recruiting class was? And when Zion wasn't out there, we found out that they're a pretty good team, but no one would have picked Duke to win the title if Zion Williamson wasn't out there. So you see, and then you saw like how well he played in the ACC tournament. It was crazy, like the percentage shots that he took. And I know that when we project out into his NBA career, that we have to start looking at whether or not he's going to have enough range to be a difference maker. But I think that he'll find that. I think that he's a willing defender. I think that he's someone that will put in all of the work. And I'm excited to see him. As far as the choice goes, I always want to try and leave it up to the kid.
Like, yeah.
And I appreciated him. Whatever way he would have gone, I would have supported it. But I did appreciate him saying, my commitment was to my teammates. That beyond it just being about me being at Duke, I made a commitment to these guys that I was going to play if I could play. So sitting here on the bench while I've been hurt and watching us not play great basketball has bothered me. And I'm going to play hopefully these next six games in the tournament and then get ready for the NBA. I think that he is handled, and Duke has done an incredible job shielding him from the outside world, as well as anything that I've seen, because ordinarily that's something that could go sideways with that level of fame. And I think that he has just been exemplary in the way that he has handled the whole thing.
Are you going to Bulls and Suns tonight in the must-lose matchup?
I am thinking about it. You know, I just saw Mitch, and I know that he's going to the game. I'm thinking about going. So I haven't decided as of yet. I enjoy watching the best play, even if it's two of the worst teams in the league. It's on my maybe, and I'll see how the show goes and how I feel. It'd be a shame to walk out of here at the end of this show, though, and be like, oh, yeah, let me go over to Talking Stick and watch two bad basketball teams. But it's still the NBA, so I don't know. Maybe not.
What are you doing on the show?
I got a great list of guests on the show tonight. Mike Hall from the Big Ten Network is going to join me. Dave Aminian from the Peoria Journal Star is going to join me to talk about Bradley. Eli Herskovich, I know you had him on nationally last night. I'm going to have him on again because he's so good and this is his time to shine. I want to talk about all sorts of stuff, including my trip to Peoria to call what was an incredible 3A championship this weekend between Bogan and East St. Louis. And I got a little teaser preview of this week's House of L, which is Tom Thayer. So I'm going to play like 2 minutes of some of the stuff that Tom had to say to
like
let
that
people know. He loves that crosstalk, and he's going to be on House of L tonight. Well, I'll drop the episode tonight instead of waiting until tomorrow.
Sounds good, man. Enjoy Arizona. We'll see you when you get back.
Thank you.
That's Lawrence Holmes. Thank you to Shep and Tanny. Great work, as always. Tim Doyle and Ben Brust were our guests. Again, we gave away concert tickets and a shot at Cubs season tickets. It's tournament week, baby. I love it. Absolutely love it. Hoping that Mac's back tomorrow. We're thinking about you, buddy. All the best to you, your dad, your family. I'm Danny Parkins. This is McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.